Good evening, Lon.
Good evening, Robert.
Thanks for turning out tonight.
You bet.
And Stephen Courtwright is running in his first municipal election. He teaches music at Mount Edgecombe High School. And Stephen, you're in your fourth year there, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thanks for coming out, Stephen. Lon and Stephen are running for one open seat on the board. It's a three-year term. We're going to be taking your calls this evening until about 8 p.m. or so. The number here at Raven Radio is 747-5877. Or you can post your question online at kcaw.org or on the Raven Radio Facebook page, which you can also access with one click on our website, kcaw.org. Or you can send us a tweet, and that's at Raven Radio, @RavenRadio. And if you don't belong to any of those, to Twitter or Facebook, and you just want to send me an email, I've got my screen up here. You can email a question, news@kcaw.org. But this is definitely your chance to pose questions for the school board candidates. Both Lon Garrison and Stephen Courtwright have been interviewed here on Raven Radio and had their stories, their profiles published on our station and broadcast, and they've both made candidate statements. Stephen Courtwright's aired this morning. You can find that online. And Lon, your statement is going to air tomorrow morning, and you'll be able to find that online as well. And this is, we always consider this an opportunity for the voting public to ask what we should have, but maybe didn't or didn't get around to. Everybody's got a different sort of perspective on what they think a candidate ought to be bringing to the table in an election like this. And I don't know if we've had a contested school board seat in recent elections, but this is certainly an opportunity when we do have a contested seat for you to kind of parse out, tease out the different views of these two candidates. So again, the number here at Raven Radio is 747-5877, or go to kcaw.org and post a question there in the under election coverage, the tab, or you can go find Raven Radio's Facebook page, Twitter at Raven Radio, or email me, news@kcaw.org. We're going to start with just candidate introductions and just sort of a statement of why, Lon? Why? Lon Garrison.
why stay around for this punishment?
Yeah, tell us who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and why do you want to be on Sitka School Board?
You bet. Well, first I'd like to say thanks, Robert, for hosting this forum, and thanks to KCAW for providing this service for the community. I think it's a crucially important service that allows the public the opportunity to speak with us and ask us questions and hopefully make an informed decision when they go to the ballot box. But why do I want to be on the Sitka School Board for a third term? Well, I was first elected in 2007 and again reelected in 2010. And in that 6 years, I really have developed a great deal of passion for public education, public schools, and the idea of being a good school board member and what it takes to do that. And I hope that I've done that. I certainly try. I've put a lot of time and effort into it, and I work at it. You know, this is a time, I think most people have heard both from myself and from Stephen, that public education is under attack. There's a lot of people that are criticizing public education, would like to see some major changes happen with regard to public education. And I think it's really important that we have advocates that stand up for what public education means. And that also means standing up for the public process and understanding what it means to be a good school board member. And that doesn't come overnight. You know, I learned that when I was first elected to the board. And it was, I won't say a rude awakening, but there was a lot that I realized I didn't know. And fortunately, there is a lot of good training that's available. And so over the years, I've taken advantage of that and tried to use that to our community's benefit. And I think I have. I've been able to be involved with the Association of Alaska School Boards, got on the board of directors. That's the statewide organization that really works towards providing support services for school boards all across the state. And so I've had the opportunity to work with and learn from people all over the state of Alaska. I've had the opportunity to work on my leadership. Ended up that I was elected and served on the executive board for the Association of Alaska School Boards. And I'm just finishing up my year as the past president. In 2012, I served as the statewide president for the board. And also in that capacity, I got the opportunity to be more exposed to national issues and to deal with issues that were taken up by the National School Boards Association. So it's really broadened my perspective to a great degree to understand what the rest of the nation is going through in terms of education, to bring that back to Sitka, to understand and gain some perspective about where Sitka is in terms of our education, what we're able to deliver. And actually, I'm really thrilled to say that compared to the rest of the country, our school district is really exceptional, and we're able to offer a tremendous amount that most districts, either in the state or across the country, can't. And I want to make sure that I can continue to do everything humanly possible as a board member to ensure that we continue to do that and continue to work towards the most and best student achievement that we can possibly get out of our system. So, you know, I think there's a lot of work yet to be done. I think I have a lot to offer yet to the community and to the Sitka School Board and education in general.
So. All right. Thank you. Lon Garrison is a candidate for school board. Also in the room, another candidate for school board, Stephen Courtright, is here. Stephen, same question to you. Tell us about yourself and why you would like to serve on the Sitka School Board.
Well, I'd like to echo the first comments that Lon made there and thank you personally for sticking here for a longer evening than you usually put in, and Raven Radio in general for the great coverage. I am a very strong believer that Raven's an important part of this community and does some great community services, and helping us be connected to our civic process like this is definitely one of the more important things that Raven does for us. The reason I'm sitting in this room right now has very little to do with the individuals who currently sit on the school board, and in particular has almost nothing to do with Lon. This is not me running as, you know, the candidate to unseat the incumbent. The reason I'm running is basically twofold. Partly because I come from a position where I believe that education policy needs to have the voice of professional educators involved, and that has been neglected for far too long at all levels. We don't have very many professional educators involved at the national level. There's almost no involvement at the state level, and currently on our board we don't have the involvement of professional educators. It's my belief that voice is necessary and needs to be included. And the obvious question then is why you as a particular educator, why not just any person off the street? And personally, I've invested a lot of time understanding policy and understanding the impacts and potential impacts of state, local, and national policy, and especially state and federal policy, because those are the ones where the mandates are coming from. Those are the ones where the funding changes are occurring and where we're getting hit with the big dictates that are causing us to totally restructure the way we do things, causing us to have to look into new testing schema, causing us to reevaluate and reconstruct entire curricula. And that's not only at a certain level. That's happening K-12 now, and there are rumors going that it's going to even impact pre-K. So as an educator, I do believe that I have a depth of knowledge that goes beyond what the average educator has. And So that's an important thing to bring to the table. Now, I admittedly don't have the experience on a school board, but I have this terrible tendency to just throw myself in feet first. And I keep finding myself, everything I join, every place I end up, next thing I know, I'm doing the work that I shouldn't be doing because I have other things that I should be doing with my time. And it was pretty much inevitable that at some point I was going to put myself in this chair. It was either going to be, you know, if my family had never come to Sitka, I'd probably be having this conversation somewhere else. And I think the time is right to, for me personally, to be getting into this process and trying to help make the policy decisions in education. And I think that it's the time is right for me to help make those policy decisions in Sitka in particular, because everybody will say this is where I've made my home, this is what the place I love, I have the family growing up here and all that. But even more so, the fact that I have such a close connection to these schools, even as an educator who isn't within them. I teach over at Mount Edgecombe High School, but I interact on a very frequent basis with people who are at Sitka High, who are at Blatchley Middle School. I on the street every day, I see the students who are going to Keat and who are going to Baranoff, and I do have that connection to them. I know students at Pacific High, and I'm invested in their futures. And to that, I have a commitment. I, as a community member, as a responsible community member, need to see that they're succeeding and they're getting what they need so that the future of our community remains strong.
All right. Thank you, Stephen Courtright. Stephen Courtright and Lon Garrison are candidates for Sitka School Board, and they're here to answer your questions. 747-5877 is the number to call, and you can also go online to kcaw.org and post a question there, or on Facebook, or email me at news@kcaw.org. And we've got a question already from an email. The question is, and we'll just, I think what we'll do, I know in other forums that you guys have participated in that the lead has sort of changed each time. And I think what I'll do, I'll think we'll just keep the lead right now with you, Lon, and then at a certain point, we'll just change the lead, kind of like a horse running laps around a corral or something. We'll just stay with this lead for a minute, and then we'll switch up.
Sounds fine.
And go that way. Lon, and you'll both get a chance at this question. Why would the Sitka School Board not open up the superintendent search to the state and nation? This is from somebody who just signed interested.
Why would we not do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are doing that. So the board had a discussion about the superintendent search, and I guess the question would be, why would we even consider just going in-house? And the discussion we had at the board table was really one about looking within the district first to see if we have candidates within the district that we might think would fit the superintendency very well and have the qualities that we're looking at. And I think one of the things would be, certainly from my perspective, was do we have candidates in-house that currently have been working with the board and working with our strategic planning, with implementing the board goals, those kinds of things that have really shown themselves to be successful in that regard. And I thought we do. But the board felt like, in general, that it would be more beneficial more equitable to have everyone apply for that position and open it up to outside the district as well at the same time. And the board's feeling at that point was that the vetting process then would be the fairest. And I certainly understood that, and that was the board's wish, and so that's the way we're going. So I think there's positive, there's pros and cons. My concern was just making sure that district staff felt like they were valued, that the work that they have done and their commitment to both the board and the district goals were something that we highly valued. And the board stated emphatically that that value does exist. So I'm comfortable with the direction that we're headed. So we are going to open it up. We're going to be working with the Association of Alaska School Boards, who commonly does these superintendent searches, and will help us with that process.
All right. Thanks, Lon Garrison. Again, Stephen, the question is, where should we go looking for a superintendent? I have, and I'm sure somebody might ask a specific question about what kind of superintendent we want later, but now, where do we find our superintendent?
I have to say that I concur with the consensus of the board on that one. When the question first arose, my thought was that if we do have qualified candidates in-house, we don't want to lose those people. And my concern would be that if we opened it up internally first and then made it clear to those folks that they weren't the match for the position, they might find themselves dissatisfied and consider moving on. So my instinct would be to open it up nationally first. And if a couple of local in-house candidates rise to the top, then that's great. And you know, they're still valued and they know the value that the board places upon them. But it doesn't feel like they're being singled out by being put up for consideration first and then rejected in favor of nationally considered candidates. So I have to say I'm pretty comfortable with the way the board went on this one, and I'm really curious to see who ends up applying and being brought in for interviews.
Right. Well, the question was prompted by the notion that in-house candidates would receive preference in the process.
Correct.
So, but the process is open. It's wide open.
It's wide open, and often what happens with the process is that you know, there's pros and cons about in-house candidates and what that means, because oftentimes outside candidates may feel, well, if there's an in-house candidate that's also applying, then what are my chances? So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I think Sitka is an extremely attractive place. Sitka is known throughout the state of Alaska for its for it being a very high-quality district that is well supported by the community. So I think we're not going to have a problem attracting very good candidates.
All right. Anything to add on that, Stephen?
I'd agree with that. Sitka is very well regarded, and the fact that it is so well regarded, that its house is in good shape in general, and that the outgoing superintendent was kept on for so long, I think are all factors that are going to look really attractive to any applicant.
Okay. All right. Again, the number is 747-5877. You can also send an email to news@kcaw.org. And you can also post a question on Raven Radio's Facebook page, which you can access easily from kcaw.org. And maybe we should just dive into the topic of superintendent, and we'll change leads here and kick to you first here, Stephen. Mm-hmm. This is a question I think we asked you both in our profiles, and it was asked at the Chamber of Commerce. But what are you looking for in a superintendent? If you haven't heard already, Superintendent Steve Bradshaw, who has been here 13 years, submitted his resignation in the, the September or August board meeting, and he's going to resign at the end of the school year in June. And so a big part of the school board's job this year is going to be finding a new superintendent to replace Steve Bradshaw. And it's an important position, and I know you both have some criteria that you have in mind. So let's start with you, Stephen.
In my mind, the superintendent is the chief administrator, and he or she has two hats that are worn. One is the external hat, one's the internal hat. And internally, the superintendent is the chief administrator, making sure that everything works, passing on the mandates that are coming from the state and federal level, passing on the mission of the board, and making sure that things are being done correctly in that regard, overseeing the day-to-day operations of the district through the designated individuals who are responsible for all of the subdivisions of an entity as big as a school district. And that in and of itself is a massive job, and we need a competent administrator, somebody who can demonstrate the ability to handle a large organization without micromanaging, who understands the importance of all of the leaders under her, somebody who can turn to a building principal and say, look, this is what the children need to achieve at this level. Make it happen, instead of coming to them and saying, you know, this is exactly how it needs to go. On the other hand, the superintendent has to be able to wear the public face hat. And the superintendent is the public face of the school district. Anytime there's an issue, the superintendent's the one that's getting asked. I guarantee whenever something bad happens in the school district, that phone in the superintendent's pocket is going to ring like crazy, and it's going to be parents and reporters calling. And those questions aren't usually going to go to anyone else, and if they do go to anyone else, they're going to be directed right back to the superintendent, because that's the person charged with being the public face. So we have to have somebody who can immediately step into that role and have the trust of the public. To me, it's important that the staff will respond to a good administrator. If they see somebody who's doing the job, they will know that they can trust that person. But the public needs to see somebody as well who they can trust. And that's a hard one to measure. We can't see that from a resume necessarily. That's an intangible. But it has to be somebody who is on a high ground. It feels like they're on a high ground in terms of where they're coming from as a person of character and as a leader of an organization.
All right. Stephen Courtright, thank you. I had just one follow. You said yourself this is something that can't appear on a resume. How do you determine it?
That part's probably going to have to come forward in the interviews. And I've sat in on interviewing processes before. When I was in college, I got to interview and hire a professor. And I can tell you, when we went into the process, we had three candidates. And the one that we knew we wanted, definitely wanted that guy, was the one who ended up on the bottom of the heap when we brought him to campus, because he just couldn't relate to people. And there's no way we could have seen that on paper. It was nowhere there to be found. And the guy we did hire is still there 13 years later.
Yeah, well, it's probably why one-on-one or a FaceTime is certainly important in a hiring process. How about you, Lon Garrison? What are you looking for in a superintendent and why?
Well, I'm going to be looking for somebody who demonstrates the ability to lead a district, demonstrates the ability and the experience and knowledge base that supports leadership in education. As Stephen said, the superintendent is the point person for the district for practically everything. People are going to be, calling the superintendent about any problem they may have or any question they may have about district policy and those kinds of things. But the superintendent also is the other kind of ex officio member of the board. He or she sits at the board table, participates in the meetings. So they have to understand that in their role, they're acting as both the administrator of the district, and they are a critical link between the board and the implementation of what the board sees as the vision for the district, where the district wants to go, and where the constituents of the community want the district to go and how to implement that. And that can be a pretty tricky business. In a lot of districts, you'll find that, superintendents don't often last more than 3 to 5 years. And then something goes awry. We've been pretty fortunate that we've been able to have a superintendent in place for 13 years. And I think previous to that, John Holst was in place for a considerable amount of time. So Sitka has been pretty stable in terms of its school administration, at least in the superintendency. So I'm going to be looking for somebody that really shows that ability to have some longevity, some stability, the understanding of they're working for the board, they're working with the community on implementing and realizing what the community wants in terms of education. And I do feel it's very important for the superintendent to show leadership both within the district and outside the district. And just like school board members participating outside the district on statewide boards and those kinds of things, I would like to make sure that a superintendent that we have has the ability to express what Sitka needs in a statewide and a national perspective. I think that's incredibly important. So those are some of the qualities that I'm going to be looking for. I think what's going to be most important is determining the qualities that the community would like to see in the next superintendent. And that's going to be the job of the board, is trying to determine what that criteria will need to be and how we go about finding that.
All right. Lon, I had a quick follow-up for you as well, but first I want to just do a station ID. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. It's 7 o'clock. This is a live election forum with school board candidate Stephen Courtwright and Lon Garrison. We welcome your calls at 747-5877, or you can email us a question at news@kcaw.org, or you can also go to our Facebook page as well. Sounds like the phone is beginning to ring. That'll be good. My follow-up question for you, Lon, mm-hmm. about the superintendent is, you mentioned that he's a de facto member of the board. And following Bradshaw's announcement of his resignation at that board meeting, I had a very candid interview with him. He met with the media afterwards, right, in his office. And we talked about longevity, and he talked about that he's been in some very sticky situations as the head of this district. I mean, there's been some issues with special ed, and now with the Blatchley issue last year. There's been some situations where, some superintendents may not have survived some of these crises.
Right.
And I wondered if his relationship with the board, if a superintendent's relationship with the board sometimes can become, if that asset is offset by the liability of just sometimes maybe being too close to somebody.
It's a balance. There's no doubt about it. It's a balance, and it's the board, and particularly the board chairman, has to understand what that balance is and where that line needs to be drawn. So it's it's something that's a little bit hard to define in words, but we learn over time that if you're going to work together and you're going to trust each other, you need to develop that trust and that relationship. And a lot of times what happens is that it's that trust and that relationship that breaks down and causes superintendents and boards to part ways. And yes, there's been several events throughout Steve's tenure in the district that have been difficult. But I think in general what we found is that the board and the superintendent have worked closely together, and based on the fact that we're following school board policy and process, that as long as we're on safe ground there and we have that trusting relationship, then the school board and the superintendent should work well together. Once that begins to break down, and you get outside of the bounds of following policy, of following procedure, those kinds of things, that's where things begin to fall apart. And so it's a tricky thing.
All right. Thank you, Lon Garrison. We'll go to our phones now, and Steve, we'll go to the lead here with you. We have a caller. Hello, Alexander. You're on the air.
Really enjoying the conversation you guys are having tonight, and I wish there were more contested elections for the school board just so that we could have these conversations. So I applaud you both, Lon and Stephen. I have 100% respect for both of you guys. Stephen is one of my favorite educators in town, and Lon, I've always admired your job you've done with the board. But my question is, we got Common Core standards coming down the pipe to us. And in some parts of the country, it's a pretty controversial issue. There are a lot of people who are opposed to implementing Common Core standards. And I would be interested to know if you could both take a turn at articulating the pros and cons and whether or not how you feel about adopting the Common Core standards.
All right. Thank you, Alexander, for your call.
Okay. I'll just listen to your answer off the air. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it. Stephen, Common Core standards.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Alexander. That's a... it's an elephant in the room if you're an educator. Common Core is one of those things where, to stop talking like a politician for a moment, Common Core has been sold as something that came from educators when it didn't. And it's come pretty much exclusively from the Department of Education at the federal level and was pushed. It was written by a guy named David Coleman, who now heads the College Board, which is why the SAT is now college. It's now Common Core compliant, I guess you could say. And there is a lot of controversy over the Common Core because it's being handed down without having been field tested. There are a lot of issues that are being identified where people are concerned that, especially at the elementary level, the K-3 level, the standards are asking too much of the children. If you look at what we have currently in the Sitka School District expectations for a kindergartner, at the end of the year, they're able to count to 10. And for a lot of six-year-olds out there, that sounds like a really low bar. But there are a lot of six-year-olds out there who haven't tried counting before they got to kindergarten. So that's it's a reasonable expectation. The early elementary Common Core standards go a lot higher than that. They are tied to standardized tests as well nationwide. There are two consortia that most of the states are part of. Alaska is part of the Smarter Balanced Consortium. There are about 35 states that are part of the other consortium. It's called PARC. And both of these consortia are developing tests based on the Common Core that are very high-stakes tests that are going to be tied to teacher evaluation, school evaluation, student evaluation, and, well, not student evaluation. Everybody's getting evaluated on these except the students. And it's going to change the landscape. If I had been asked, I would have said that national standards are a great idea, but I don't know that these ones are because they haven't been tested yet. We're field testing them now as they go live. And you know, we're doing things like taking algebra from high school and putting it in eighth grade. And that might turn out to be a great thing for our country. It might not. And that's what we don't know. And it worries me that we are trying it out as we go. Unfortunately, I wasn't asked. And not many people were. And it's what we have now. And we don't have a lot of choice. We have to implement it or, you know, somebody somewhere has to choose not to go for it. But that's where we are. And, well, if we speak technically, Alaska isn't a member of Common Core. Technically, Alaska has created its own math and language arts standards, which are 85% the same as Common Core, which was required by the dictate from the Department of Education. We were allowed to differ up to 15%. But because of that 15% differing, we are not allowed to say that we use Common Core. We use the new Alaska standards, which are based on Common Core.
Five stars, right? The stars.
Well, the stars are tied to it. That's the school rating system.
Oh, right.
Which, yeah, it is connected with that. We have different elements connected that are in that, including student testing, student improvement on the tests, graduation rates, attendance rates, and there are a few other elements as well.
I shouldn't have mentioned. I'm hung up on the stars, as you can tell. Thanks, Stephen Courtwright.
Certainly.
Lon Garrison, your thoughts on Common Core?
Well, it's a real conundrum because it's something that we are being forced to deal with, whether we want to or not. And as Stephen mentioned, the Common Core and the new Alaska state standards, which were adopted by the State Board of Education last year, are in essence nearly the same. The commonality between the two is very high. So if you adopt one, you in essence are nearly adopting the other. So the idea that are the Common Core standards a good thing for the Sitka School District and how will they affect student achievement, how will they affect what the district does and how we rank. I think in many ways the Common Core standards make a good deal of sense because you're saying, well, I want to make sure that our students are getting what they need and that we are teaching to a standard that is going to allow our students when they graduate from the Sitka School District to be competitive with any other student around the country. And that seems like a reasonable expectation. And it seems like a reasonable expectation that we would say, well, how well are we doing? Are we getting where we need to go? I think the big concern, and certainly a concern of mine, is what does that mean in terms of local control? What does that mean in terms of the community deciding what is the best method to implement teaching standards? And how do we evaluate that? So it's one of these things like, I kind of feel like we're being held hostage without much of an opportunity to decide exactly what we want to do without any real true alternative. The testing portion of it is a great concern to the school district. The testing is going to be an online-based testing system. And there's a tremendous amount of work that's got to go into that. The idea was that if we go to a digital online testing system, that it would be, one, easier to implement, and two, more cost-effective. But we don't know yet. They're still building the test. The state has not definitively decided are they going to go with Smarter Balance or PARC. It looks like it's going to be Smarter Balance. And what does that mean? So the tests are still being developed. Then the other part of that, too, is as we develop these new standards and implement the new standards, the real concern in my mind is making sure that we align our instructional materials to the new curriculum, the new standards, and then provide the support and the developmental time that the staff is going to need to make that transition. And by the time that that is done, will we be ready for 2016 when these tests go into effect? So Common Core, to me, versus the Alaska State Standards, I don't see a real big difference there. I certainly would like to hear more from the community. I know there are folks that are expressing some real concern about Common Core, that there are ulterior motives for the Common Core, that it was designed by the federal government to do specific things, and that, in fact, from everything that I know so far, is not true. The Common Core was developed by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief School Administrators. It was really an effort to put together a set of standards that allow states to take a look at each student and compare the readiness of that student and the capability of that student to other states. And are we getting where we need to be competitive both nationally and globally? And a lot of the standards were developed in relation to global indicators of where students need to be. So, like I said, there are questions about are there ulterior motives. I have yet to see definitive proof that that's the case. Is the Department of Education using it as a tool or a bat, so to speak, to get us to do what we want to do? I think at times, yes. And that doesn't feel good. That doesn't give us much local control, and that's a real concern I have about the Common Core.
So conundrum versus elephant in the room about this issue. We have some questions piling up from our social media and our website. I thought maybe we'd run through some of these. I don't think there's any time limit on your answers, but I think we have at least three here that we can run through. Actually, four. That may not need as in-depth sorts of analysis. But again, it's totally up to you guys. We've got a question, and we'll kick the lead back to you here, Lon. Jay asks, there are more than 20 activities for students at Sitka High, but none of them deal with what's known as STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. What will you do or what actions will you take to ensure that there are extracurricular activities at Sitka High in STEM?
Well, that's a great question. We've been working with folks in the sciences to try to expand opportunities with science. And coming from my line of work with the Sitka Sound Science Center, most of that has been focused on the life sciences. which kind of makes sense given where we are here in Sitka with all the opportunities with life sciences. However, you know, the question has been posed, well, what else can we do that would support other sciences, mathematics and engineering in particular? And I think there's a lot that we can do, both from the mathematics end of things and the physical sciences. And, you know, I would like to see other opportunities, extracurricular opportunities. Maybe they would be clubs. Maybe they would be other offerings that we could help facilitate through the Science Center that really are focused on mathematics and engineering, because science is not just the life sciences. So we have some work to do there, and I think we have some real opportunities that we have through the 21st Century Learning Grant and work with actually Mark Nance from Mount Edgecombe High School has helped with a project looking at Lego robotics, looking at an underwater remotely operated vehicle project and having kids come up with those kinds of things. So projects like that, I think, would facilitate more involvement in extracurricular activity in math and engineering. So those are the opportunities that I would be looking at. And maybe we could look at opportunities where students would be competitive with other schools for engineering and math type decathlon events.
All right. Thanks, Lon Garrison. I remember the Edgecombe kids who came in and talked about robotics in the morning interview one time. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Courtright, what are your thoughts on science, technology, engineering, and math in Sitka's schools?
Well, those kids are quite a crew. And I'm glad, Lon, that you mentioned Mark Nance, because I think that connects exactly with what I was going to say, which is if you throw a party and nobody comes, you don't have a party. And the board can work on this as much as we want, but it has to have the involvement of at least one committed faculty member and a group of students. And I think it's starting. I know that there are collaborations occurring between Mount Edgecombe High School and Sitka High School. That robotics program is making use of some of the resources available at Sitka High School. There are collaborations going on between computer classes and fabrication labs over at Sitka High. And I think that might be one of the places that it starts, when the students can see that there are neat things happening there. But if we don't have that committed group who want to do it, it doesn't go anywhere. And so I think it's not something that the board can take action on officially necessarily. I think this is something where the best probable use of the board would be for individual board members to go and, or any other community member for that matter, to just go up to teachers, go up to students and say, hey, you know, what is it? Or just be doing the research, you know, the idea of a decathlon. Those exist around the country. There are robotics competitions, engineering competitions that exist. And to just drop the literature on somebody and say, hey, have you checked this out? I think this can supplement your curriculum. But if they aren't interested, it's not going to happen.
Thank you, Stephen Courtright.